The gospel lesson comes to us from Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Listen now for God's word to us. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbors as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom.' After that, no one dared ask him any questions." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Most of us who are parents can remember a time when we were on a driving vacation, and after a short amount of time, one of the kids would pipe up from the back seat and say, "Are we there yet?" Mom or dad would always say, "Not yet." A few short minutes later, another voice from the back would say, "Are we there yet?" "Not yet," would come the answer. This goes on and on until one of the parents say, "Stop asking that question. We're not far from our destination, and we'll tell you when we get there." I remember my parents getting upset with our asking that question. There were four of us, and so we asked it often. And so we tried to rephrase it. "Mom, are we closer to our house or to Grandma's house?" I'm not sure whether this was a better question, but it did make my mother laugh the first time she heard it. I know that the closer we got to our destination, the more excited we became. The scribe came to Jesus and asked him a question: "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'" But he didn't stop there. He continued, "The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this.'" Then the scribe said to him, "You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbors oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that the scribe had answered correctly and wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom." That's an interesting statement. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Are we there yet? Are we closer to the kingdom or closer to our home? I thought about these words all week long, and the more I thought about them, the more I wondered and marveled at them. What interesting words when applied to a scribe, when applied to a member of the class of persons that so often are portrayed negatively in the Gospels, to that class of persons so many of us have been taught were more concerned about the letter of the law than the spirit of the law, more concerned with observance than with the motivation behind the observance. But what did Jesus mean by it? We know that the kingdom was at the very center of Jesus' teaching because so many of his parables are about this kingdom. But nowhere in Scripture is the kingdom defined. I think that goes to show that there is wisdom in the law of God, such as the scribe has spent his life studying. And those who study the law can find the truth within it, the truth that love is more important than sacrifice, that mercy is more important than burnt offerings, and that these things are that from which all the laws worthy of the name flow. You are not far from the kingdom of God. You who really try to do what is right, you who believe that God is one and that God is good, and that to love him and to love your neighbor as yourself is what is God's will for all of us. You are not far from the kingdom. These are good words to hear from the teacher, from the one who bears the kingdom within his very being and radiates the light of that kingdom for all to see. Yet in the words "not far," it is possible also to hear that there is some distance yet to go, that we're on the right track, but we have not yet arrived. In a part of Europe, so I've been told, next to a beautiful flower bed, there is a sign written in three languages. In German, the sign says, "Picking flowers is prohibited." In English, it says, "Please do not pick the flowers." And in French, it says, "Those who love flowers will not pick them." It seems to me that this sign lies part of the key as to what distinctions of distance we might read into Jesus' statement, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." What is our motivation for doing God's will, for obeying God's command? Fear of authority? Picking flowers is prohibited? A desire for God's approval and the approval of others? Please do not pick the flowers. Or love? If you love the flowers, you will not pick them. One wonders, at least I wonder, when looking at the scribe in today's reading, if he lacked a little something in his passion and in his understanding of the law of God. If perhaps there was a little bit too much duty and routine in his life of obedience and not quite enough eagerness and passion. Perhaps he had a bit too much holiness of being apart from the world and not quite the right amount of compassion and empathy. Whatever it was, if there is anything that implies a sense of distance between the scribe and the kingdom of God, in a most profound sense, it does not matter. It is enough, most surely, for him and for us to hear the words, "You are not far from the kingdom." You of sincere heart and sincere purpose, you who believe and who try to do what is right, you who try to love as God wants you to love are not far from the kingdom. A thoughtful, curious young man went to the desert to visit an elderly man, a monk, who had lived in the desert for many years. Arriving at the holy man's cave, the young man encountered the monk, who was sitting out enjoying the sun, his dog laying lazily at his side. The spiritual seeker asked, "Why is it, teacher, that some who seek God come to the desert and are zealous in prayer, but leave after a year or so, while others like you remain faithful to the quest for a lifetime?" The old man smiled and replied, "Let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting here quietly with the sun with my dog. Suddenly a large white rabbit ran across in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up, barking loudly, and took off after that big rabbit. He chased the rabbit over the hills with a passion. Soon, other dogs ran, barking across the creeks, up stony embankments, and through thickets and thorns. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit, discouraged by the course and frustrated by the chase. Only my dog continued to hotly pursue the white rabbit. In that story, young man, is the answer to your question." The young man sat in confused silence. Finally, he said, "Teacher, I don't understand. What is the connection between the rabbit chase and the quest for God? You fail to understand, answered the old hermit, because you failed to ask the obvious question. The question is, why didn't the other dogs continue the chase? And the answer to that question is that the other dogs had not seen the rabbit. They were attracted by the barking of my dog. But once you see the rabbit, you will never give up the chase. Seeing the rabbit and not following the commotion is what keeps me in the desert. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What in fact does it mean to love God? Some people have such a messed up view of God. They see God as some divine police officer looking over their shoulder and waiting for them to make a mistake so that God can squash them like a bug. Others view God as a vindictive being who enjoys playing havoc with their lives. Lord, why did you let me get this traffic ticket? Why did you let my nose run just as I was giving this important presentation? God, I know you're busy, but I would like to play golf this afternoon, and the weather has been lousy lately. It is hard to believe, but some people have a God with nothing better to do than to run breathlessly all over the universe, cleaning up their messes, spoiling their plans, and occasionally granting them a lucky break. No wonder so many Christians have trouble loving God, and it's a wonder that God can stand us. The truth is that God gives us an amazing amount of freedom. Our lives are pretty much what we have made of them. Sure, some of us have had lucky breaks along the way, some good breaks, some bad breaks, but mostly the choices we made were the determining factors in our successes and our failures. Some folks are uncomfortable with that idea. They want God to look after every detail. Stephen Raggi, a professor teaching American politics in Singapore, wrote about an incident that illustrates the difference between their society and ours. One evening, Stephen went to water a sickly-looking fern a previous tenant had left in the apartment. He was sort of reckless in his watering and just about drowned the poor fern. Afterward, he went for a swim. Then he returned to his apartment. A persistent knock at the door interrupted his peaceful evening. Stephen opened the door to find the Singaporean police officers standing there. They politely but firmly told Stephen that his fern was a public danger. Evidently, his overwatering had left standing water in the flower pot. Pregnant mosquitoes thrive on standing water, and mosquitoes can spread dengue hemorrhagic fever. So the extra water in the flower pot created a health hazard to the neighborhood. Stephen quickly emptied the extra water, and as he did so, he marveled at Singapore's social policies. He had watered the fern a little over an hour ago, so evidently one of his neighbors had reported him to the police. After the fern was taken care of, the police officers continued to make polite conversation with Stephen, and during this time, Stephen discovered that the police knew quite a bit about him. Evidently, they had information on file. This episode sounds very foreign to us mind-your-own-business Americans, but it demonstrates one way that other countries maintain social order and harmony at all times. How would you like to live under such restrictions? Police at your door because of the way you watered your plants? Some of us would be in trouble for something just about all the time. This is how many Christians view their relationship with God. God is in control. God determines when a patrolman will be on duty on the interstate to write a speeding ticket. God determines whether I get to play golf this afternoon or whether I or not I will win the lottery, which I did not. Poor God, to get the blame for all our misfortunes. No wonder it's difficult for God to love us. In reality, though, God has given us an amazing amount of freedom. The psalmist phrased it this way in Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus noted that God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. God does not come around willy-nilly rewarding some people and punishing others. God does not determine the outcome of football games or rain on your daughter's birthday party. God simply doesn't work that way. Here's how God does work. God is always there when we call upon him, to give us strength for the journey, to heal our hurts, and to refresh our spirits. But for the most part, God allows us to make of our lives what we will, be it a mess or a masterpiece. God is not a police officer, a matchmaker, or a meteorologist, but God is the best friend you will ever have. Relax and love God for who God is. My friends, how can we not love? How can we who have seen the white rabbit do anything else but chase after it? And how can we who have only heard the commotion and smelled the scent not avoid the temptation of giving up the chase? Sincere and deep commitment to the commands of God to love, to the command to love versus the eager desire to return the affection and the love that we have experienced from God to God and to what God has made. There is a distinction here, but it is not one to become anxious about unless you're about to give up chasing the rabbit. When Jesus speaks to the scribe and affirms his wisdom and his insight, when Jesus tells him that he is very near the kingdom of God, he is talking to all of us who strive to follow in the way of God, to all who seek to walk by God's light and to do good rather than evil. He is telling us that such folk draw close to the kingdom of God, even when they do not use the name that we here in this church use, even when they do not name the name of Jesus, and even when they do not understand the fullness of God's mercy for them in Jesus. But how much better to have seen the rabbit, how much better to allow God's love for us in Christ to penetrate our hearts and to well up from inside us. My friends, I urge you today, as you consider the greatest of all the commandments, and as you think about the words of Jesus to the scribe, you are not far from the kingdom of God. I urge you to not hear those commandments as if God's love for you depended on your fulfilling them, but rather to hear what a wonderful place you have come to in pursuit of righteousness. And how much more wonderful it will be as your love grows ever more perfect through the Spirit that is alive in you. God loves you. God has given us amazing freedom in our lives. God is not a police officer watching our every move in order to punish us whenever possible. Rather, God calls us to draw closer to him, so that we may know the fullness of his love, in the strength of that love, love as deeply and as passionately and as truly as did Jesus. You are not far from the kingdom of God, Jesus told the scribe. I suspect that most of us are in that state. We are still standing just outside, but it takes only a baby step for admittance. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Amen.